Let's go. We're chatting about Dan Bornay and my hottest college football take that people are flaming me on social media for. It's all coming up, baby. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the dragon, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the value, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the dragon, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the value, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter.
Let's go. So we're starting off with some sad news here. Dan Bornay is stepping away from his legendary role as the PA announcer for Tiger Stadium. Obviously, it is a health concern. I don't know how serious this is, but, you know, with Ed Daniels just passing away, who's also a Louisiana icon, obviously in a different capacity, I do want to celebrate Dan Bornay, and I hope this message gets to him, because in the history of LSU football, there aren't many people who added to the legacy and, to use a phrase the kids use nowadays, aura of LSU football like Dan Bornay. Do you think it's just the stadium that gets every single national media member to rank LSU as the number one venue in all of college football? No, it's not just the stadium. It's the phrase. It's the iconic nature of chance of rain, never. That is so iconic. You get a chill every time you think about it. And then, of course, it's Saturday night in Death Valley. The thing I like about Dan Bornay, I knew him. Obviously, I don't know how serious this is, but when, you know, I was around the day-to-day LSU stuff, he was always so kind to everyone that he saw. Now, I would love a tribute of some kind. I think what would be cool is if a pre-recorded Chance of Rain of Dan Bornay was played in a Saturday night in Death Valley, at least for the first game versus Nichols. Now, he wouldn't want that. He would just want Bill Francis, who's stepping in. And Bill Francis is also a really, really, really kind individual. And Dan Bornay is as well. LSU is very lucky that a lot of the people who have been with the team and the athletics for decades, a good chunk of them are outstanding individuals. Jack Marucci as well. I've never met Jack, but everyone says the same thing about him. But really, I'm not just saying this just to say it, Tiger Stadium is what it is thanks to Dan Bornay. No, he didn't play. No, he didn't coach, but he made games that much better. So if we never get another Dan Bornay game, that sucks. That sucks. Everyone needs to experience Tiger Stadium with Dan. Now, we move along. And Dan, I hope you get this message. Let's chat about the college football playoff. All right, so a very prominent bowl projector, probably the guy that most people go for bowl projections, and he's also the guy who normally breaks every single bowl before everyone else in media, is Brett McMurphy. So Brett McMurphy, and by the way, we got a fun guest coming up. He actually played college football at an extremely high level. He's going to be joining the three-time guest club, and the last time he was on, he had an actual legend of the game join us as well. Now, I hope he joins us. Okay, yes, he just texted and said, he's in. Okay. I want to talk about the college football playoff. I shared a take earlier today that a lot of you are going to disagree with, and that is perfectly fine. A lot of people think I'm doing a participation trophy kind of argument. All right. And I normally hate to proceed, hey, this is an unpopular opinion, but it was. I would prefer LSU host a college football game in the playoffs, then reach the national championship game. Now, a lot of people miss this part. Reach the national championship game. All right. I'm not saying win the national championship game. Obviously, I wouldn't trade anything for another national championship. I'm just saying, I do not believe, and this was honestly the more controversial part of it. A lot of people say that this playoff format is going to remain the same, that college football playoff games are going to continue to be played at home sites in the first couple of rounds. Okay. That I do not believe is going to happen. I think everything will be moved to neutral sites because it makes more money. That's just how things work. Okay. Now, I know a lot of people responded and said, well, no one's going to travel to four straight playoff games. That's not the point. The demand for tickets for playoff games has never been the issue. Every game will sell out. The college football playoff doesn't care if the same Joe Schmo goes to all four of the playoff games. Okay? Every game will be at neutral sites. So we don't know how long this home playoff thing will last. It might last 5 years. It might last 10 years. Hell, it might last forever. I don't know. What I do know, though, is for sure this year, college football playoff games will be shared in home stadiums. Now, maybe I'm missing something, and maybe it is in writing somewhere. And I probably should have looked this up previously. Maybe it's in writing somewhere that it absolutely, positively, the first round needs to be on actual home stadium soil. Maybe I'm missing that, okay? TJ with the big super chat. Let's go. TJ, congratulations. You, my friend, won yourself a Drew Brees card. Congratulations. And if I find a Chris Paul card, I'll send you that as well. Thank you so much, TJ. Good to see you again. Hope everything is fine, where everything is bigger and better. We're going to talk some Texas Longhorns a little bit later. We say out of Precia, say out of Tyler, Sibley, CT. I do think eventually it'll be at all games will be at a neutral site. Wouldn't it be nice for LSU to host a playoff game? Tiger Stadium deserves it. I think everybody outside of their own school would love to see it. I had a dream 2 weeks ago that I was on the field next to Ernie Johnson, Charles Barkley, and Shaquille O'Neal, because playoff games will be on TNT. I had a dream that that was going to happen. Now, if they are there, I doubt I'll be down there, but I hope you guys clip this and send it to TNT if this actually does happen. But how cool would that be? The most legendary studio show of all time, and I love College Game Day, I do. But everyone knows, along with Kenny the Jet Smith, that is the best studio show of all time. Wouldn't it be cool if they were on the field? We had inside the CFB. I kind of wanted to do an AI-generated image and share it here. I don't think you guys understand how much I want a college football playoff game to be played at home. Okay? So, once again, I would not trade winning the national championship. I would trade reaching it. It would be legendary. It would be absolutely legendary. Okay? And look, my dream, the premier seed in the college football playoff this year is going to be the 5 seed. That is what everyone wants. Because if you get the 5 seed, you will play the 12 seed at home in a playoff game that will sell out, and you're near guaranteed a win because that 12 seed is going to be a non-power 5. So that game is more than likely going to be LSU as a 5 seed, if they are the 5 seed, versus Liberty. Or how about this? How about this? LSU versus Tulane. Are you kidding me? All of our viewers over 50 years of age remembers LSU versus Tulane. I know they played more recently than that. I was at that game. It would be insane. So I would trade a lot to host a playoff game. A lot. Scarcity, baby. Let's see. Now, I want to talk some LSU stuff. Obviously, a lot of Tigers are being up for awards. Emory Jones, Will Campbell. Will Campbell spoke to the media earlier today. You know, he answered every question really well. Garrett Nussmeier, so on and so on. Maurice Claret spoke to the team today. For those that don't know, he is the Ohio State legendary running back, one of the absolute best college football running backs of the modern era. Okay. Now I was trying to think about this. How many Ohio State running backs were better than him in the modern era? Obviously, Ezekiel Elliott. That's probably it, huh? So, you guys know I'm a jersey number nerd. You know it. Maurice Claret wore an obscure jersey number for a running back, number 13. You know who else wears a number 13? And wears the color red every single day? It's Garrett Nussmeier. So there's Maurice Claret speaking to the team, okay? Thank you, Maurice, for sharing that message. And here's the thing, Maurice Claret. You have an open invitation to jump it on PHL. I also do this. And TJ, if you have a question, go right on ahead. I think you know that. We also say Zachary here. He drops a super chat as well, okay? Oh, you listen on Spotify. Thank you so much. I don't announce this enough, but I do post the podcast on Spotify and iTunes. I'd much rather you watch on YouTube because, well, I've not had my podcast monetized. I really don't know how to do that yet. But still, if subscribe and all that stuff on those platforms, to leave a 5-star review, that goes a long way. Okay. It's really cool, though. Maurice Claret. I do think, though, like, I would say probably 80% of the team didn't know who that was previously. To this day, okay, and this is another LSU hot take. My favorite part, the absolute most hilarious, hilarious part of the 2020 LSU football season, okay, the 2022, the first year of the Brian Kelly era. Now, it wasn't the best part. Mason Taylor is the best part. Always will be. But the best part of the 2022 season was when Harold Perkins allegedly said he didn't know who Michael Jordan was. Obviously, it ended up being a joke. Everybody knows who Michael Jordan is. But we are getting old. Like earlier today, yesterday, I shared a Kirk Cousins playlist. And it was all old punk rock songs. All. And I was like, this playlist is kind of fire. And then I realized Kirk Cousins and I are the same age. He's a class of 08 guy, I'm 07. And I was like, you know what? I'm old as hell. So Zachary wants to talk about the Will Campbell for Heisman movement this year. Half of it is name popularity and media hype. So I referenced this slightly at the end of one of the live streams. I don't know if you heard that or not, Zachary. And thank you so much. You might have come up with this originally. All right. I don't like doing that. I don't like doing, hey, person at obscure position can win the Heisman this year, okay? Now, let's go through a few players who had Heisman buzz at obscure positions, okay? Harold Perkins last year didn't have the season that we all expected. Derek Stingley, his final season, left the team, hurt. Will Campbell deserves Heisman discussion. I do think he has a real shot of playing. Now, I know Mick says the Honey Badger, But the Honey Badger didn't have Heisman hype before the season. Okay. Now, Patrick Peterson had some, but there really wasn't like a push, right? So I do think there is a path forward, though, for Will Campbell winning the Heisman. What do we know about the Heisman Trophy now? Well, it's easier for us to quantify offensive line play. We have PFF grades. We can watch the games themselves. You can pull up YouTube. The Joe Moore Award this year added to me the best offensive line evaluator on the planet, which is Brandon Thorne of Established to Run. I've spoken to Brandon a few times via Facebook, but don't know him at all, but his work is elite. So we have gotten better at really understanding offensive line play. Our football knowledge as a collective has gotten better. Now, there's a lot of different things that need to happen for everyone, including myself, our football knowledge to go up. Now, I know I make a living doing film studies. I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. I just try to share my thoughts on the game. And that's that. But what's really good about offensive line play is you can see them at all times. Now, you don't have every single angle. You don't have the calls. You can't fully evaluate that. But Will Campbell has a very real shot of being in this discussion for a few reasons. Number one, look at all the elite teams in college football and look at their best players. How many of them have an unfreaking believable superstar? Really, the only one is Carson Beck at Georgia. So you look at Ohio State. Ohio State looks amazing. Will Howard's their quarterback. Their two running backs will cannibalize each other for the Heisman. Okay. What about Alabama? Jalen Milroe's got a really good shot of winning the Heisman this year. Okay. I don't think he has the passing upside to get there. You then take a look as we move down the list here. Let's take a look at Texas. One thing that you can point to about all the Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks is they are good runners. Joe Burrow was an elite runner, in particular, in the big games that they played. In the absolute biggest, closest games, his running was often the difference between us winning and losing. Okay. Obviously, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Marcus Mariota. Most recently, who won the Heisman last year? Oh, yeah, that Jaden Daniels guy. So then we get to Oregon, who I think will go to the playoff this year. Dylan Gabriel and Carson Beck had the highest likelihoods of winning the Heisman. I do think, though, Oregon's going to run the football a lot, even though they lost Bucky Irving. They do gain Evan Stewart. So I think those are the two most likely guys to win the Heisman. But there's not a Caleb Williams out there, though. So it's possible. It's possible. And I think voters are more open to that possibility. Right? A few years ago, the Heisman was wrongfully awarded to Bryce Young. It should have gone to Will Anderson. Now, obviously, I've had many debates on this channel about that with you guys, and probably my most heated debate with Blake Graffino and all our media appearances together. What's that? Well, we were screaming. You could go back to it. So the truth is, it's hard to win the Heisman if you're not, of course, you know, the quarterback. But it should behoove us to push Will Campbell for Heisman. Now, I know this is said all the time, and we did the same thing with Dan Bornay a minute ago. But I do know some people that know Will pretty well. Okay, I don't know his family. I don't think I've ever met Will, but Will really isn't the look at me kind of guy. Every single interview he's done has been about, we are going to the national championship. Or that's not what he said. Don't go crazy. we got to go to the national championship. 10 win seasons is not enough at LSU. This leadership is Whitworthian. Okay? So, it's a really good super chat. It's a really good way of looking at things. Okay? 80% of the team, according to Grant, didn't know who he was. Let me look at something really quickly. Maurice Claret is 40 years old. Okay. Let's go to TJ Super Chat question. Will we have a running back run for over 700 yards now that Nimbrock is gone? Also, you asked me about Quinn Ewers. All right, we'll start from the back because actually we'll start from the front and we'll ask our next guest who covers college football nationally about Quinn Ewers, okay? Yes, I think Caleb Jackson will. All right. So let's pull up rushing yardage numbers for LSU from last year, okay? Just to give ourselves some reference points here. Okay, so obviously Jayden ran for 1,134 yards. Last year, our top rusher was Logan Diggs, who was in and out of the lineup with 653 yards. Okay, now, do you believe Caleb Jackson is better than Logan Diggs? They're probably about the same, right? Logan, last year's Logan Diggs to this year's Caleb Jackson. Caleb, of course, is just a better talent, an overall better athlete. Logan, a little bit more seasoned, probably understands the ins and outs of the running back position. So I would say it's a wash. But because Caleb has more upside, and I think the LSU running game is going to be better with four of the five offensive linemen coming back, I do think he eclipses 700 yards next year. I do. Okay. Now, I'm just sharing that I'm still really high on Josh Williams. Okay. So the year before in 2022, the LSU offense wasn't as good, but you did have Josh Williams with 532 yards. Okay. So the last time, of course, Ty Davis Price easily eclipsed 1,000 yards. I say easily with 1,000 yards. Most of that came in one game versus Florida. I'll say a fifth of it. More than a fifth of it came in that one game versus Florida. So, yeah, I think, sure. Now, Quinn Ewers. What about Quinn freaking Ewers? I have always been anti-Quinn Ewers. Always. I thought he was overrated as a quarterback prospect. I didn't think he was bad. I don't think he's bad now. I think when you really look at him and you look at the games where he has ample time to prepare. So Washington played really well. I know Alabama was week two, but they played Rice the year before and they prepared all offseason for Alabama. And Sark is Sark. He knows Nick Saban, okay? So I truly do believe Quinn Ewers is fine. Do I think he's elite? No, I wouldn't use a first-round pick on him. Now, how about someone that does quarterback evals on his shows all the time? He's a guy who's been on our show for the third consecutive year. And he also played the game at the highest level. It's coming up right after this.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go. Big Game James joins the illustrious three-time PHL guest club. Follow him, Big Game James underscore 36. And I don't like you. I wanted to let you know that.
What did I do? Is it because we were 2-0?
Yeah, you got us.
Yeah. Good team. Well, one of the few that got you guys. Like, it was crazy how talented the LSU teams are. And I was actually rooting for you guys. Well, no, I was rooting for Missouri. I thought, no, LSU was rooting because I thought you guys would get Guidry from my rival. I was like, please get Guidry out of there. But I like LSU. I thought y'all were going to get a kid that was really, well, never mind, I won't spoil it. Y'all still have a chance to get a kid who's really close to me here in recruiting, a five-star wide receiver that I coach here in Jacksonville, Florida.
He shares a last name with where the Olympics were held.
Yep. And okay. His family, I believe, is from Baton Rouge. So that's where they're originally from. But yeah, man, you know, it's all fun and games, man. You know, it's why you play football. But I mean, that those LSU teams are extremely talented.
Quinn Ewers a good quarterback? I think you're muted right now. There you go. Is Quinn Ewers a good quarterback?
He's a good college quarterback. We've had a lot of debates on my show because there's a lot of people who like the school that my alma mater, obviously Florida State University. Our quarterback's not very well liked. All right, and highly regard the guy we got. But he has what I like to harp in as a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio, which I think is okay. Quinn Ewers just so happens to have a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. But in an offense where Sarkisian is the guy, I mean, I'm just not over the top about that. Am I thinking about the right? Yeah.
Your favorite college football sleeper going into next year as a team is who?
Ooh, wow. Sleeper.
Maybe it's Florida State. Maybe it's Florida State. Maybe y'all are slept on. Everyone thinks y'all are cooked.
I think we'll win 10 games. I think we're a playoff contention, so I can't call us. I think people are, like, going over the top with stuff. But when you're saying sleeper, I'm trying to think who could be this year's TCU from a couple years ago. I mean, Texas was good, but nobody really thought that. I'll be honest with you. Believe it or not, Oklahoma. And I know that sounds weird.
Oh, you?
But, like, and the only reason I'm saying the quarterback, they got the quarterback, they're changing. And what happens is this. The Big 12, the SEC talks about, and you guys are, it is a very good conference, right? But we know what happened the last time you took two teams from the Big 12. Was Texas A&M and Missouri. And what happened in the first couple years, their style of play was so much different than everybody else's that you had to catch up. So you had teams like Missouri representing the SEC East in consecutive years in the conference championship. So I can see Oklahoma being – because Texas – I would say Texas, but they lost two of their running backs. And you have to be able to run the ball in the SEC. So I think Oklahoma could be the team that's got enough name recognition, but that's just right there. But – I'm going to be honest with you. I think college football probably for the next couple of years is going to be a Texas, Ohio State, Georgia. Those are going to be the teams that you're going to really start consistently see in the college football playoff.
Actually, let's just go ahead and get into it. You're neutral. Once again, you do not hate LSU. Well, you shouldn't. Your neutral thoughts on LSU going into next year from a former college player's perspective?
I think Brian Kelly, one thing Brian Kelly can do is dial it up. So I think your offense will take a slight step back, obviously. But I think one thing LSU has been able to produce, regardless of who the head coach is wide receivers. What you didn't have was great quarterback play. I think you have good quarterback play now. I think you have a good coach. What I'm interested to see is what that defense is going to be able to do. I mean, there's no reason. The Ole Miss game, while it's fun, it should not be a basketball game score. Like, you got to eventually stop somebody. And I think that's what's going to be the hiccup. But I think the talent is there. And if some of your players live up to what the hype and the expectations that they have, I think you're going to be more than fine. I'll go and really throw out a guy that was, I forgot, I can't think of it. Errol Perkins.
Yeah, Perkins.
I mean, when I had to evaluate you guys, it was like, you know, people were mad that I'm just telling you what I see on film. Like, I don't dislike or like any, like, this is how I would attack. I can't be afraid of a guy who didn't make any plays against us. And while he did get better, like, if he lives up to the billing of what he has, you'll be more than fine. But those recruiting classes, I think that's going to always put you guys, and again, people don't want to hear this because it sounds like failure, but if the floor is 9 wins, then, and the ceiling is, 12, like, that's a damn good season, man. I don't really know where, like, only one team can win a natty, but I do believe they will be playing, and I had to learn this from covering the NFL, you'll be playing meaningful games in November, meaning that you'll be looking for a chance to go to Atlanta.
Before I forget, because you don't want to keep it college football, for those that don't know, I'm showing a photo of you playing at Florida State, right? Playing for the great Bobby Bowden. But you also cover the NFL, and the big thing you cover are the Jaguars.
Right.
Okay. So how do you see, since we have you on here right now, Brian Thomas Jr. and Mason Smith for next season for the team?
Well, the fun part was that I got a chance. Like, I knew 3 of the draft picks. Like, I know them very well. Haven't seen them. Like, haven't, like, one with Jerry and Jones. Being like, okay, well, I know how to stop him in practice. We got Jerry. Okay. He was there. But I also know what he can do. And it's wild because you see how explosive he is on the top end. And even when I went back, because obviously with the coverage, we watched the game, there were some times where Jaden, it was just the pressure where the pressure came from forced him away from Brian. But, like, had he just been able to, like, have eyes in the back of his head or stupid peripherals, he was streaking down the field. So like, there were times he was open, but as I tell people, like, yeah, that sound good. That looked good from the safety and comfort of our home. But when there's like really mean people coming to try to hit you, that guy ain't open in that moment, but he's good. And then Mason, I think where the Jags lack is some really mean, thick guys in the interior. He's athletic. He can, he's got great hands. I'm hoping that, he can, in a couple years, we'll see him and that'll be a name. But I think those two are guys that you want to be able to get to. You got good hopes for them getting to their second contracts in the NFL. And if you get to your second contract in the NFL, you've made it.
And you guys paid, I say you guys, but you just cover the team. Trevor Lawrence, you paid him.
Yeah. So one of the things the Jags haven't had in years is a number one wide receiver. And I believe that they're trying to make Brian Thomas Jr. that guy. And what I mean, the guy that can take the top off the defense.
Let's go.
You got Gabe Davis, who's an elite 50-50 ball, go across the middle guy. You got to have him. You got Evan Engram at tight end. So, and Travis Etienne at running back line with Tank. So you got some young key weapons there that should do well. And it's just about, can Trevor take that next step? I mean, last year, Trevor did fine. It's just he could not get the connection that he needed to get, a few times throwing the ball out the back of the end zone, not having those guys. I think now with Brian Thomas, you got a guy with Calvin Ridley. They weren't able to get on the same page. I think with Gabe Davis, Brian Thomas, I think you should see some I think you got better, younger weapons. Hell, as I joke about Calvin Ridley, as a lot of people like him, but he's my age. Even though he's a young NFL player, he's a guy that graduated 25 before people got that extra COVID year. So I mean, he's a little older. He's long in the tooth.
You do have fans, man. Some Fatal Jedi's actually been tuning in since you joined. I think he's been tuning in since 2022 when you joined in.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. He's a regular on the show. He's okay, good. We have different memberships. He's an all-in member. So he gets, like, basically whatever he wants Florida State related. I'm hooking him up, man. So, like,
hold on. I'm giving you away for free, though, right now. So I'm sorry about that, man. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, anybody can watch the show. But not everybody can get a brick from Dope Campbell Stadium. Like, they do the renovation. Okay. So because he supported it since we were able to do membership. So I really like that. And I think we had a good amount of people from your channel come over and watch. Yeah. I mean, it's we were.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. All right. Keep going. I want to show you something.
Okay. Like, again, I don't hate LSU. I actually was in New Orleans for a second, got some coffee and beignets.
Sean Payton.
Funny thing is I was hanging out with him in the combine. This past February, and he was like, I can see you still kept on some of that weight that you picked up, and I'm like, hey, it's a sensitive topic, that's why you got rid of me. But it's fun. I think we do with my Big Games BS, and even with the breakdowns. I've had more people ask me to do film breakdowns of other schools because it's just I'm really just watching it. Like,
If I can do it, and I wasn't a Power 5 college football player and I didn't play in the league like you, you can do it. Believe it or not,
people don't even care about my opinion. They don't – like, I'm telling people, Florida State's playing Georgia Tech. The last 3 years, so I'm telling people, they're like, oh, LSU's going to blow you up. I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen. LSU's going to blow you up. Nah, it's not going to happen. No. Georgia Tech. Now it's Georgia Tech's gonna blow. I'm like, guys, if LSU, who is a good team, couldn't do it, what the hell makes you think? So when I break it down, I'm not just too technical. I'm having fun with it. But like, if I were just as I call it, a pencil neck, and I never played or something like that, if I were on 3 or some stuff like that, I'd have more people liking it. But what do I know? It's not like I played it or anything.
Also, I will also share. So when I do my film breakdowns, I never try and get too technical. Number one, I don't know as much as the coaches and the players anyway. But number two, if you actually – and it's free. You can actually look these up on YouTube. If you actually sat down like in a coach's meeting, you wouldn't – it would be infuriating. It's so much rewinding, stopping, stopping. Like one guy I watched a full little presentation was Alex Atkins, y'all's offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. And this is offensive line. People think offensive line is very like simple. You block this guy. It's not it. No, offensive line might actually be the most complex position outside of quarterback with all the splits and the foots. You got to step one way. If the three tech stems to the one tech, now the blocking rules change. It's so much stuff. So always
understand. And the more you're around it, the easier it becomes, but the more frustrating it gets when you're trying to talk to normal people. I love talking to Atkins. Me and him nerd out when I go on campus.
Okay, so
and we're talking about stuff. They're getting blamed for things that running backs would. So a lot of people don't know that, like, if a running back doesn't make the right read, it makes the offensive line look really stupid. And one of my comments of so we call it Trey Benson, love Trey Benson to death. One of my favorite players that has been in Florida State recently. But boy, I call him wrong. He's a wrong hole lover at times. Like, he is just going to – he is going to force fit it in there, and it's not going to be comfortable. Like, it's either going to bust wide or it's going to be – or he's going to get jammed. And I'm telling people this, and they're like, oh, man, the running game sucks. And I'm like, well, the running game doesn't suck. The running back just didn't – oh, you don't know. I'm like, okay, what the fuck do I know? What do I know? But – even explaining it to other people, like you're going on a path and there's supposed to be, like if you're pulling, there's supposed to be a guy there. But then that guy does something different and he ain't there. And so now you got to go climb to find another guy. And that should be common sense, but sometimes that doesn't quite happen. But it's a beautiful, it's why I love football. It's a simple game that is complex in its simplicity.
And I think one thing people get wrong is a lot of football plays, like old school, it's we call the play, you run through the B gap no matter what the defense is doing. But so much of football is if this guy does this, you do that, okay? And that's why it's so complex. The defense and the offense are doing that at the same time. It really is like chess. I wanted to show you this. So I tried to give this thing away on your show last
Deion,
year.
Yeah.
And then
Deion's not too like.
Yes. Dude, I got a DM from one of the, I got to go dig through it and find it. All right. It was either a DM or it was a message in your chat, either one. And he was furious. He thought I was trolling. I was like, no, I really want to give this out. I have no need for it anymore. And
part of it too is I have a history with Deion, and anybody who follows me, like really? This is well before Jackson State in Colorado.
You didn't share. You might have forgotten. Is it nasty?
Not really. It's a brotherhood fraternal thing, like fraternity thing. So like if you're a Florida State fan or you're a fan of football, you're like, oh, why does he hate Deion? And I'm like, well, I hate Deion. Because, okay, so in 2003, Florida State, we go 10-3. We lose to two teams. We lose to Clemson and we lose to Miami twice. So we have in that February of 04, there's a meeting that they call. And, you know, these meetings are what do you call it? They're involuntary mandatory. Meetings. I mean, voluntary, involuntary meetings. So everybody from like the who's who of Florida State lore was there. I, as a guy who grew up in Tallahassee, Florida State, I mean, I knew Corey Simon. I know Peter Bulwer. Deion's there, Sammy Smith, like all of these guys. I mean, it is like literally like I am a kid. Like all over again. Like I became an 8-9-year-old, but I'm in like a 20-year-old's body right now. Man, they cussed us out for 2.5 hours straight about how bad we were and how much we sucked and how we messed up the dynasty and how we did this and we did that. And then so we go back and they're like, how can y'all lose to Miami and this and that? And I'm like, wait a minute. Some of y'all didn't beat Miami, but whatever. We go and we say, long story short, we say, hey, during that time, Miami had a great collection of talent, but you can see the guys coming back to work out. These guys led by Deion promised us. Deion was like, you want me to come back? We're like, yes, man, we got Primetime 2, Dominic Robinson, we got all these guys. Man, we would love to work out with you guys, man, and just pick up pointers from the greats, right? They said they're coming back. Oh, that's off season. Nobody shows up.
What?
Nobody comes. We're like, fine, whatever. They ain't never been here before. Bump them. Then, you know, maybe stuff happens, whatever. 2005 rolls around. Off season. We're playing Miami, Labor Day. Big game, big rivalry game. ESPN does a special in July. Deion Sanders is going to the University of Miami's campus and training his protege, Devin Hester, to make him the best. We're like, you bypassed us after promising us, and you go and you're training the ops?
The ops, bro.
To play us and beat us? Oh, since then, it's been fuck Deion. I don't like Deion by one person, Deion Sanders. So, like, that's me. I, James Coleman, have every reason. I don't tell Carter to not like Deion. I just tell people why I don't like Deion. And I've done it with some humor and some other different things. Right. I'm like, that's why you lost two of your toes or things of that nature. Just like, but that being said, Deion is the best DB. He's the best DB to ever play in the NFL. He's not the best DB to play at Florida State. That belongs to Terrell Buckley. But it's arguable. But bottom line is Deion's a great football player. Deion's a terrible person, though. And it's just all out. That's my opinion of him. It will never change.
Yeah, okay. You can't do that. I didn't know he did that. I really didn't.
Oh, it's terrible. Like, it was, yeah, but send it to me. I will put that bobblehead somewhere in this archive. Like, that thing is nice.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're absolutely awesome. So you know what's interesting? Just to use like a comparison, could you imagine if you're an LSU fan, like younger Patrick Peterson goes or Patrick Peterson now goes trains DBs at Alabama? Mm-hmm. You couldn't. Could you imagine that? Could you? I couldn't imagine my heart. I would be absolutely positively torn if that were
the running back that LSU had with a natty that ended up going to Kansas City Chiefs for a little bit.
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
So imagine, I mean, obviously this would be on pro LSU. Right. Imagine Fred Taylor, because Florida's a rival for you guys, goes and says, you know what? He never goes back to Florida, doesn't do anything with Travis Etienne or any of those guys that are there now, and says, you know what? I'm going to go work with these running backs here at LSU just because I have an affinity for this guy. Man, those Florida fans would be all up in arms and things of that nature, yeah, but it's just you don't. It could have been anybody else that we played. We could have opened up with anybody, but it was Miami. And it's the fact that's why we were hurt.
Haynes King is going to tear up Florida State, says Doug Nose.
Yes, the guy with the 25 touchdowns, the 16 interception guy. That you love that 1.3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. I did a breakdown today of the Georgia. So I watched the Georgia Tech Miami game, speaking of Miami. Damn. And I'm watching this. And I also watched the Georgia Tech North Carolina game. And never have I seen situations where other teams lost the game more than the other team won it. Haynes King, when pressured, just scrambles and just says, F it, somebody's down there. I'm going to throw the ball. And typically it's to other teams. So, like, when people say, if Haynes King has to throw the ball, I like our chances. I mean, this is a guy who had 4 interceptions against Clemson, 2 interceptions against Miami. He has multiple interception games. Like, that's never a guy that you want to be your signal caller, even though I do respect some of the players on that Georgia Tech team because they're from my hometown, Tallahassee. One, Amari Harvey, is a DB. He's a pretty good kid. But I do know that they have a former defensive coordinator from Duke. But one of the things that you cannot be a Georgia Tech fan and say that your team played with any kind of physicality last year, which is part of the thing that Florida State actually bodes well to Florida State, is that they are a physical team. And if you only look at Florida State with one game, you have to take things into consideration. There are you cannot lose 13 guys who are currently on NFL rosters and then go play a team that's loaded with NFL talent and expect that to be any semblance of a game. So, I mean, if you're only going to judge Florida State by one game against Georgia, okay, good for you. How much money you want to bet? How much do you make in a month? And that's how much I want to bet you for that game.
Are you going to Dublin?
No, I'm going to be here. We're having a couple watch parties here in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, for those that don't know, you do a big tailgate for the opener every year. Yeah. How long have you been doing that? About
5 years. Outside of COVID, I mean, I think COVID was the only time. So 6 years technically. So COVID was the only year we didn't do it. We started with Taggart, and at least something went right. The tailgates went right. The games didn't go right. But we would have gone to I was really considering it, but then first I found out you can't really – tailgating isn't really – it's kind of frowned upon over there. And then I was like, that's a lot of money. Have no idea how many people – even though we've got a large contingent going, we will have a tailgate for the Boston College game, though.
Yeah, of course.
The big one.
Yeah, I was about to say I could see you going to Dublin and throwing the down Irish.
Man, there's this Irish chick that was in the Olympics that I'm just enamored with as a track athlete, and I was like, I would go if I could meet her.
Meet her.
I would figure it out. But it should be a good.
I will find her and tag her. Maybe she'll be like, hey, I got your flight.
I mean, listen, she sounds like Lucky Charms. Like, that's exactly like she's on. But it's a, I like his, the other part of it is the turnaround. So, like, I would have to go there. It'll be a short trip. And I'm a history guy. I don't want to go and then only be there for like 2 or 3 days. Like, I want to go and enjoy it. And I don't have the time during football season to do that.
Ah, okay.
That's why I don't go to when the Jags go to London. That's why I don't travel with them to go to London.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will, dude. Yeah, I will say this. So, and I'm telling you this friend to friend, London is my favorite place I've ever been to.
Oh, wow.
So I would like for you to go at least once. Okay. So here she is. I found her. Is that her right there?
Yes, but she has a better picture. But yes, that
okay.
is her.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's see if is it. Let me see. Rasidat Adeleke.
Sure.
You, okay.
That pronunciation is way better than mine. More than likely. Just all I know is big fan here. Like just that. And just and again, anybody who watches my show knows we talk about her. We talk we talk about Nia Jax in the WWE. We talk we talk about powerful women. Like again, just trying to get choke slammed and body slammed. Very few people have ever been able to do that to me. So she could outrun me, obviously that one. But
Be nice.
but it's just fun. It's fun. I love the and I'm a big I like track and field and I love the Olympics. So
a lot of people are enjoying you. We'll keep around here for a few more. Give us your thoughts on Florida State joining a different conference. Do you prefer them to stay in the ACC, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, get out of the ACC by any means necessary. I'd rather be independent. And a part of it comes down to it's just piss poor management when it comes down to negotiating contracts. Just the contract in of itself is bad with ESPN, and ESPN knows it. And I don't think ESPN renews it because they have until February to renew it. To the 2036, and if they haven't renewed it now, they know that the writing's on the wall. They're in bed with SEC, and I don't blame them. Like, that is where they need to be at. But I think – and then also, I think when you have the advantage that you have – and, again, it may not have changed anything, but Florida State earned the right to get their ass whooped if that's what was going to happen. You can't bring up TCU because here's the problem with bringing up TCU. TCU beat Michigan to get whooped in the national championship. Like, they didn't just get put in the national championship. They won. And to have the NC State president be the chairman or on the board and then you don't beat the table for your ACC, like, that's a sign of bad faith. Like, I don't want to – but that would never have happened if Greg Sankey was over that. Like, that's just my opinion on that.
Yeah. Part. So do you think he didn't do that? Or
no, I think what they did was they cowtailed and while they feel like they may not be below the Big 12, they are playing second to the Big 10 and the SEC. And I don't want to be around that. You either believe you have the best conference, like, because to me, I would have been saying we are a Power Five conference. We're one of the best conferences. This was set precedent. Blah blah blah. I would have been beating the table, 13-0, facing all kind of obstacles. And when I go back and I look at the playoff game, they're like, the quarterback play wasn't great in the first two games. Now I think Michael Penix played pretty good in the if I remember correctly. In the Natty, but again, great quarterback play didn't win the national championship. Good defense, solid run, and a good defense, good run game is what won that. So that lets me know I don't want to be in the ACC. Now, if I have my preference, I prefer the Big Ten over the SEC, and here's why. One, the Big Ten is trying to become a national brand. A national conference brand. So you bring the West Coast, they have the Midwest, they have the Northeast. The only thing they don't have is the South. Picking up Clemson and Florida State gives you the South, gives you two brands. And before anybody says anything, Name me the only teams that have won national championship not named SEC that aren't SEC schools in the last few years. And before last year with Michigan, Florida State and Clemson were the only ones who have done this and consistently been in that. So you have guys who have brand
recognition. Ohio State too, but
you're what I'm saying outside of my bad. So Ohio State has won. They're in the Big Ten. But outside of that, nobody else has really even held a candle to what the SEC has been able to do. So that automatically increases your value as a conference. On top of that, FSU as a university, so the academic, the nerd side of it, the goal is to beat the University of Florida in everything. Like, when you look at it from that, we want to be the flagship program of the state of Florida. The only way you do that is through research dollars, more money infusing coming in. You cannot basically give away a $30 million advantage, which is what the advantage is right now between what Florida gets from the SEC and what FSU gets from the ACC. You can't make that up anywhere else. But how the Big Ten does stuff on the academic side, they have the Big Ten AAU. And Florida State is actively petitioning to get into AAU. They will be there in the next 2-3 years.
And what is the AAU?
It's basically it's an elite academic.
Oh, okay. So Stanford's
in it. You know, a lot of the big schools are in it. It's something that just sets your university above others. But when you think about top medical schools, top law schools, top research schools, you got Northwestern, you've got, you know, Michigan, you got a lot of these places that have these things, and they all share their research and their information. So there's things from the university perspective that, and I'm with everybody. One of my favorite football quotes and movie quotes of all time is from the program. When's the last time 85,000 people stood in a room to watch somebody do a math problem? I thought that until I learned like how much money goes into academic research. And I'm like, yeah, it's important. Sports is important. But that's really where the money is. And it's not that SEC doesn't have that. It's just a lot more things there. And I'd rather fly into Chicago. I'd rather fly into Philly. I'd rather fly into all these other different places.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I'm a member of the Gator Bowl, so I get an opportunity to scout ACC and SEC schools. I wanted to go to see an Ole Miss game. I like Lane Kiffin, guy who's Kelvin Bolden is works for their recruiting over there, Ole Miss. So I wanted to go
hang out.
I'm looking for flights into where Ole Miss is, and I'm like, wait a minute, I can't find no flights. Why can't American don't fly there? And then I'm asking questions. They're like, nah, you got to fly into Memphis, and then you got to drive. And I'm like, I got to what? I got to fly somewhere, and then I got to drive 2 hours. And then I looked at the hotel situation. People complain every day about hotels in Tallahassee on game day. It's just as bad in the SEC because most of these places are in, forgive me, they aren't in the biggest metropolises.
No, they're not. It's like
I don't like that. I want to be able to stay in a nice hotel for not that much money. And Chicago and some of these other places that the Big Ten schools have give me a little bit better.
So Jared, Jared went to Missouri last year. It's like that there as well. If you go to Mississippi State, if you want to see the Cowbells, it's tough. LSU has it a little bit better because flying to New Orleans, you get to experience New Orleans, hour up, you get to experience Tiger Stadium. So it is a little bit easier. I want to let you know this. You knew this privately. I know I'm keeping you. I lobbied so hard for Florida State to get in last year. All right. It wasn't out of my friendship to you. It wasn't out of anything. It was just out of principle. And I understand I'm supposed to move on and people get tired of me bringing it up. I don't care if it was a backup quarterback. You guys got so royally screwed. And people are going to forget about it. They will. And they'll look back at 63-3 versus Georgia and think that that means anything, which it doesn't. It means something. Give Georgia a lot of credit. They didn't opt out. But whatever. You give them credit. No Florida State fan is not giving them credit for putting it on you. The thing that pisses me off, though, is we're just going to forget about it. We're just going to forget about it. And I couldn't imagine if LSU was in that same spot and how we would feel about it. I wouldn't sleep at night knowing that that happened to me.
Yeah, nobody would. Anybody in the same shoes would not just forget about it. And it's because I think what happens is there is a different mentality in these other conferences that Florida State has never adopted. So before we even got into a conference, we were independent and we were Florida State, right?
Right.
When we joined the ACC, we didn't give a damn about the ACC. Like, I don't care about that. Like, they can go defeated. It's not like the, but SEC chanced the SEC. So like when Bama wins a natty, it's like everybody won a natty. No, that's not how we feel over here. So like we don't care. But I think that also puts us in a situation where people look at us differently. And you know, and also Florida State fans are an easy target. They get a little offended. They feel like everybody's picking on them. And, you know, so like even the disrespect extends to this. And regardless of how you feel about the situations that he went with off the field, like Jameis Winston put up one of the best freshman campaigns in college football history, obviously winning a Heisman Trophy and losing one game in the 2 years that he was a starter. And nobody talks about him consistently amongst the tops of the quarterbacks that have ever played. And Florida State goes in, fans go into that saying, hey, they just don't even respect our players and things of that nature. But, and also, I said that to say is 13-0 is very, a lot has to go right for you to go
on. Oh, yeah.
Even if you play the video game and you have it, have the settings set to you, it's still difficult to go undefeated. Like, to do that and then to be told you're not good enough, even though you beat a top 15 ranked team in Louisville when you beat them, that had a vaunted passing attack, that literally had, you know, had done some things. Like, if we would have got blown out by Louisville, everything that they were saying would have made sense. But, you know, they didn't. And then again, like you said, kudos to Georgia and Kirby. I knew Kirby was going to do what was necessary. And that's because that's Kirby. That's what jerks do. Florida, and that's not jerk in a bad way. That's just Kirby is a jerk.
No. Kirby will run it up in the final game.
Kirby right? Coached me at Florida State when he was a GA. I know Kirby. So that's a.
Okay, yeah.
But when you just. Like, Kirby has a team that a lot of those guys were coming back. He knew. So they're set up for this year to make a run. Now, with Florida State, we were set up last year. That's why Keon came there. That's why all these people came. And, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
So there you go. I know you got family stuff. It's 10:30 over there. I appreciate you, man. I really do. There's a thousand. I could talk to you all day about college football. If you ever need me to hop on your show whenever, let me know. Check them out. The best thing you could do for our guests is to support them via Twitter. Big Game James _38 is where I got your jersey number all messed up. You got to go support him if we're going to continue having awesome guests. Den Media Group, go subscribe now. I appreciate you, man. I really do.
Nah, man, I appreciate you, man. Again, I'm rooting for LSU. I need y'all to do me a huge, huge solid. Like,
okay,
need that November to be the worst November in Florida Gator history. I don't need you to just win. I need you to, like, you know, I need by the time they roll into, like, here's what I need. I need Billy Napier to get an opportunity to shop, to do his Black Friday shopping without having to worry about game planning. That would make my cold heart so warm, because I don't want Florida to be successful at anything, like nothing. I want them. Miami, I don't like them. I mainly don't like the fans. I hang out with a lot of former Miami players. I just don't like Florida. I'll never like Florida.
So. They are my least liked SEC team.
And do y'all go to Florida this year or they come to y'all?
We go there.
Oh, man, nothing better. Please just drain the swamp. The funny thing is, when President Trump was running, and he made that statement literally when they got 100 shirts printed up in Garden and Gold that said drain the swamp. And like, just, I'm not a political guy like that, but it was just one of the great, I love that phrase. I'm like, yes, that's what we're trying to do. Drain the swamp.
Oh my God. watch some big conservative outlet, clip us saying,
they probably
these two guys say there, it will, and I'm not political, obviously. Next thing you know, we're going to be on church. But look at these two guys saying, "Drain the swamp." Big game, James. All right, I really do appreciate you staying up late with us. And we'll do it again soon, my friend.
All right, man. Sounds good. I definitely have you on my BS here coming up soon.
Talking about it, man. Yeah. Oh, man. He is so funny. He is so funny. That Deion story was so good, man. He is a great – he also has a gift of storytelling. So we talk about ball quite a bit. I will also say I can confirm this. There's a pretty prominent LSU player he has a pretty close relationship with. So he wants LSU to succeed. I didn't get into NIL. He's obviously mentored some young Florida State athletes for NIL. And obviously what I should have done – actually, this always happens when I have a guest. Okay? Always happens when I have a guest. Right when the guest leaves, I think of the question that I wanted to ask. Okay, so y'all guys blame me. I should have followed up on when he said the Jamie French thing. Okay, I should have. But then again, you guys know how I feel about a recruiting announcement. I'm not a big scooper when it comes to a kid's recruiting announcement. So maybe we should have thrown some dollars James's way to tell him to talk Jamie French into committing to LSU. Oh, yes, Jared. I'm going to make shirts that say funky-ass dank swamp. I mean, I could, Pierce, but I you might not have heard it. I heard it. I can hear his kid in the background, and it is 10:30, and he was doing it from his house. And I told him, you don't have to come on late. We can do it tomorrow where it would be a little bit earlier. He is on the Eastern time zone, so I wanted to respect his time. I wanted to. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. Yeah, and basically I would have asked, what is the kid like? So obviously if he does commit, we'll have James on again because, well, he knows the kid. Okay. Let's go to Sibley. Because the Florida schedule is so tough, they might focus and have a good season. They're going to get destroyed this year. That is the hardest college football schedule of all time. That is the hardest college football schedule of all time. Now, I shared this earlier on Mark Rogers' show. I love Mark Rogers. We'll get Mark on pretty soon. He's never been on PHL. Never. So I know this text is small, but it helps you see all the teams, okay? Florida ends with Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss at Florida State. All five of those teams are in the top 15 preseason, okay? One of these teams isn't going to be as good as we think. I would say at least four of these teams will be ranked when Florida State plays them. There's no way they survive this. There's no way. Can LSU take Bama this season? Yes. Yes. This was a take I wanted to bring up. I had it written down right here. If we take out some of these Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia teams that very narrowly missed the playoffs, those three have been the best playoff schools of the modern era, okay? They've all won a national championship. All three of them have basically been top five pretty much every year. More often than not, top 10 as well. So you take out some of those teams that didn't make the playoffs, like 2017 Georgia or 2017 Alabama, this year's Georgia, last year's Florida State roster and team was the best team to not make the 14 playoff. They were the best team, okay, to not make the 14 playoff. The only team I thought that was better than them was Georgia. Yeah, I think Florida goes 0-5. So we'll take a few more here. I had to put your live stream back 10 minutes as well. You probably can't see it, but I got more bumps forming on my face, so hopefully I'm okay. I had to put more ointment on it. So I push it back, let it dry to where it's not like feeling weird. So, yeah, y'all pray for me. Also, pray for Dan Bornay. Let's see. Here's Cassie. As a Vols fan, I will say I think LSU will be formidable this season. Also think a lot of people are sleeping on Nico and my Vols. Hi to you too as well, Cassie. Thank you so much. She said her roommate is a Florida State grad. Well, Cassie, I hope everything is going well. I know I think you're going to Tennessee or wherever. I don't know. But thank you so much. Tell your roommate Ashley I said hello. Let's go to Pegasus. Carter, BT and me had this argument this morning. Kyren Lacy's probably like the same level as all the others recently that ran. Probably about 4.38. Might be mid 4, more 5. So I could see it being like a 4.45 as well. Oh, so you want the Sanders bobblehead. Cover the shipping and you got it, because it is going to take, I think it's going to take a little bit more on the shipping side of it, because this thing is, it's not heavy, but it's, I got you. It's yours, Fatal Jedi. It's yours. Let's see. Ooh. Okay, I want to show you this. This is the kind of stuff that I like. All right. So I shared this in the Philip Wright video that we did. And I want to share this. As well. Okay, let me find it. Okay, here we go. This, if I get a reading like this from a reputable site, Real Analytics is respected. Okay. Share screen. LSU commit DJ Pickett took his speed to new heights, went from 20.3 miles per hour to 21.1 miles per hour. Okay? That's something. Anything above 21 is really fast. Anything. Okay? At least that's what the MPH people tell me. And some other notable guys that have touched 21 is Caleb Jackson, obviously. Jamar Chase, Chris Hilton's probably touching at some point. So that means that is real, real fast. I had no defense versus the bed bugs. Huh? I shared the bed bug story from our guy, Jason Morgan, on Sunday. Love Jason. And I love each and every one of you. That will do it, though, for me. Our top super chatter is TJ. TJ, don't forget, shoot me a message on Discord, or I think you have my number. Just text me. I'm going to send you something. Zachary, thank you so much. Grant and Jared, you guys rock. You really, really, really do. Now, please go join the PHO Patreon and Discord. Patreon.com/LSU football. Please shoot me a message if you're going to be in Vegas. At Power Hour LSU. Are you going to be there, Donald? Well, we got to meet, man. Let's see. I was checking. I sometimes put some notes in my notes app to make sure I needed to get to something else. Okay. That'll do it for me. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. And tonight we are doing lemon pepper chicken wings. Let's go. Let's go.